description of a church. This passage is one that preachers preach often, helping congregations to understand what it truly means to be the church. We're today going to be looking at the third letter of the word bless. And as I shared, it's a fun one. When I decided, you know, what am I going to preach on for this one? Well, preaching on eating is pretty fun. That's pretty fun. And so this, like, well, where can we take this so that it will be something that will compel us to be more purposeful in our eating with others and in a way that grows the kingdom? So several of you have been gone on your trips, and so you've missed these sermons. You can catch them online if you're interested in the series, but the first letter in the word bless is B. Okay, who remembers what is B? Begin with prayer. And by the way, there's a cheat thing up there, so you can all get it right and not feel like, wow, I wish you wouldn't ask me these questions. They're up there. Okay, L. And E is so easy. Eat together. Okay, so if I tell you to go eat together, do I need to preach? We know how to eat together, don't we? We know how to do this. In Begin With Prayer, I challenged you to pray. You made a list the very first week of people you were praying for. So that week we talked about praying for people that were on that list. Also praying with people if God brought people to you. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm checking in and just reminding you this is part of what we're doing. So we're continuing that process of prayer. And then to listen with care, we talked a lot about what that looks like, that we're not trying to fix anything. We are simply standing in for Christ and loving people as they share from their hearts. And I challenged you to have undistracted times of listening, where the phones are nowhere to be seen, where the TV is turned off, and you are having eye contact with someone and you care with the love of Christ. And that was my challenge, that you were to practice doing that over the week. So those challenges continue. Now it's going to be pretty fun to challenge you to eat, right? You're going to say, I'm going to get an A+ on that one. I can do that one without any sermon. I don't need a sermon. We surely do know how to eat together. So as I started thinking about this one, I thought, I wonder, how many times did Jesus eat with people? I actually found this article that was titled, Jesus Eats His Way Through the Gospels. And I'm going, whoa. But it's true. It's true. There's so many examples of Jesus eating with other people. Can you think of one or two? The Last Supper. Right in front, right here, the table reminds us he ate with his disciples the Last Supper. When else? When he was eating with Matthew, the tax collector, and the sinners. Good job. I'm sorry, say that again. With Zacchaeus? Yes, good. You're getting the harder ones first. That's great. The fish, he fed the 5,000 with loaves and fish, and he fed the 4,000. With loaves and fish. He did that one twice. He did that one. That's two separate stories, by the way. Oh, yeah. He started out eating, didn't he? Have you ever seen the menu for a Jewish wedding? Holy cow. They eat for days. They eat for days. And his first miracle was to turn water into wine to have along with the eating. Wow. He started with eating. He ended with eating. He ate his way through the gospel. Judy.
After the resurrection on the beach.
Good job. That's in my list too. You guys are coming up with the harder ones. If you don't know that story, they're out fishing and he is on the shore and they don't know him. They don't recognize him. And then they come ashore and he's made them fish for breakfast. And when they eat, they recognize him. lots and lots of stories. There's another one after the resurrection when he is walking on the road. He meets the two that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And then they break bread together and they recognize him. So eating is super, super important in the Gospels. And it gives us an example that it is a priority that we should make, not just to consume food. That's what we get wrong. It's not about consuming food. It's eating together with others. This passage in Acts takes place right after Pentecost. We'll be celebrating Pentecost in 3 weeks, and that's when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples. And so this is happening after that time of celebration. And I love the fact that this is all about evangelism. Day by day, the Lord added to the number those who were being saved. They shared all their worldly goods. They spent a lot of time at the church. Good job. You're here. They spent a lot of time worshiping together. And they ate together in their homes. Now, this is not a family dinner that we're talking about here. Have you heard the term house church? Okay, that is what this is, where they come together. And in fact, Paul speaks later about how they come for communion and they're hungry and they're gluttonous and that that's not okay. So we know this is a house church situation. And this is how the church grew. There was no such thing as a covenant church or a Baptist church or a Catholic church. It was a house church. They would go to the synagogue because they were Jewish people at first that came to know Christ. And so that worked for a while, but not after much time. It became house churches. It's kind of like our small groups. I think all of our small groups are eating together. That's something that I started on Wednesday nights because I understand this. Eating together brings us close in a really comfortable way. So what were their attitudes in this passage in Act when they're eating? What is your attitude when you eat? Do you even have one? I know when my children were teenagers, they just ate. They were machines. They just ate. And if there was an attitude, it was a complaint. Right? I'm sure your children never complained. What is our attitude when we're eating? I don't think we think much. It's something we've got to get done. That's an American thing, by the way. In other cultures in the world, eating is something almost sacred. If you have dinner in France, it's not a quick thing. And you savor. You savor. It says that they were eating with glad and generous hearts. Glad. You ready for the Greek, what it is? I want you to think the last time you ate this way, if ever. Exultation. Exuberant joy. I don't know that I've felt that. Exuberant joy when I'm eating. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Even when I'm eating something I love. What? Somebody?
He said mom. My mom.
She does love to eat. Yes, she does. Yes.
My Korean food is pretty good. So I was
all right. All right. So exultant joy. I think that's a beautiful picture. Wow. We get to eat together. Do you say that with your families? We get to eat together. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. How's Thanksgiving going for you? Okay, those holidays. Now, it's interesting. The word that's translated in both the translation Debbie was reading and the one that I was using as generous happens only once in the whole Bible. That's always significant when it's only once. What's significant partly is we can't be 100% sure what it means. Because we don't have a lot of background on the word. So we go to the secular. And it's interesting, it's not typically translated, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, as generous. It's with unworldly simplicity. Unworldly simplicity. So how are we when we invite people over? Do we practice unworldly simplicity? I don't. I don't. I like to entertain. But this is about simple and joyous sharing of a meal. So how are we doing as far as eating together? Does your family have dinner together every night? If they do, good job, because it's rare. This statistic says this: sadly, Americans rarely eat together anymore. In fact, the average American eats one in every five meals in her car. One in four Americans eats at least one fast food meal every single day. And the majority of American families report eating a single meal together less than 5 days a week. In fact, it's usually more like two or three. It's harder and harder and harder for people to prioritize getting together. But listen to this. Statistics also say this. Families who make a priority of eating together at home have children who get better grades, less truancy with their children. They spend less money on food while eating healthier. They have better relationships, are mentally more stable, and report being happier than those families who don't eat together. That's not even the spiritual part of it. That's the benefit of fellowshipping with one another and eating together. So if we don't even eat with our families, what are the odds we're eating with extended family and friends and those who aren't yet friends? We can't make a priority of eating together with those that are closest to us. How are we ever going to be able to stretch? How likely is it we would think of inviting a relative stranger? A hurting neighbor? Some of you mentioned people that you know are hurting. A struggling co-worker? A classmate who is lonely? Into our homes. Yet we're called to do just that. Romans 12:13 says this: contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. I don't want to miss out on entertaining an angel. That would be too cool. Hospitality. What's the root word of hospitality? Think about the word in your mind. Picture it in your mind. What other word is in there? Hospital. Hospital? Hospitality. Huh. Oh, could it be that by showing hospitality, we are helping people to heal? And that we ourselves are being healed? Hospital, where the sick go to be healed. When Jesus eats with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus is not well. Socially, mentally. How about when he eats with the sinners? Oh, by the way, we are sinners. If he came to our house, the same would be said about us. But here in Bless, this is an evangelism technique, okay? So I found this story in one of the Bless materials, and I loved it. This is what it says. Don and Hank hadn't seen each other for more than 20 years, and now they found themselves standing face to face. It was the most improbable of scenarios. Both were attending an event neither had been invited to. But they took advantage of the opportunity and began catching up on lost time, filling in the gaps since their childhood friendship began. 2 weeks later, they ran into each other again. "This is crazy," Hank said. "Two times in 2 weeks?" They caught up again, going a little deeper than before. Then Hank said to Don, "Now let me see how many of us would do this. I'd love to keep in touch. Would you like to come over to my house for a Bible study?" "No way," Don answered. "I am not doing that." So Hank tried a different approach. Well, I know you used to love food. Are you still a foodie? Don didn't even need to answer. His expression gave him away. My wife makes an amazing dinner before the Bible study, Hank said. Why don't you come over to our house for dinner? Then you can stay or leave, whichever you prefer. What a neat thing. What a neat thing. Perfect thing to say. The next week, Don pulled into Hank's driveway for the first time. He stayed to eat dinner, and then he left. The next week, he stayed a little longer after dinner. Eventually, he stayed for the Bible study. In Hank's home around the table one night, Don claimed his faith in Jesus. Several years later, Don shared his story with me. He said that sharing meals with Hank was the turning point in his life. So what excuses do we have for not obeying Scripture in extending hospitality? I'll just list them for you, because I bet you could come up with these yourselves. Anybody too busy? I don't have enough time. I'm running all the time. I'm too busy. My house is messy. The food won't be good enough. I'm not a good cook. Or maybe they won't like what I make. My house isn't fancy enough. I'm embarrassed by my family. You laugh. I have felt that way. I have felt that way. Afraid people will see how we really live. When we come to church, we can put on a pretty good face. But if they come to my house, see, I have this thing. I'm living in your parsonage, right? And so it's taken away all of my excuses because, hello, that's part of what a parsonage is for. And it's so funny. You have taught me something that has been difficult. New Englanders show up early. What's up with that? You show up early. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I still have to wipe that counter off. Man, I'm trying to get this done, and you guys knock on my door 10 minutes ahead. The youth come early. Really? Really? It's been so fun because it's happened now so many times, and I'm like, I get it. Cultural shift here. Plan that they're coming 15 minutes earlier than you think they're coming. Good parenting. Yes. So that's been kind of fun for me. I've just learned to say, well, you know what? Here I am. Come on in. Come on in. It's good. It's very, very good to learn to be humble. Some of us just have feelings of inadequacy in general. It's just hard. You know what I have to say to those excuses? Let it go. Invite people anyway. Invite them anyway. Our Acts passage shows us all that is necessary. Have fun. Exultant joy. You should come over on Sunday night and have dinner with the youth. We have so much fun. And I get such a kick out of watching them eat. Because some of them are very particular and some of them just shovel it down. You know, and they get excited when it's food they like and they pick it, so they have no excuses. Simplicity. Nothing elaborate is required. In fact, according to Acts, it's not even desirable. And praising God. That's what they were doing. How did their meals affect the kingdom? Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The power of eating together is beyond our imagining. It's all over Scripture. So my challenge for you, invite somebody over. Invite someone to your home for a meal. Maybe it's someone who has come before, but not for a long time. It doesn't count if it's a person that was going to come anyway. Doesn't count. People with whom you regularly eat, no. Somebody that is going to be tremendously blessed. And the stretch goal would be invite someone that it's hard for you to invite. You can do this. I'll do it too. I promise. It'll be great to hear the stories. It'll be great to hear the stories. Maybe one day we'll be writing our own story. Like Hank. and on. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for food. What a lovely vehicle for furthering your kingdom. Give us courage, Lord. Let us let go of all of those things that hold us back when all you ask is that we extend hospitality to those who need it. And that's most of us. Lord, show us the person that you would have us invite. Let us welcome them in your name. Lord, make it fun. We love you, Lord, and we're going to enjoy this one. It's in your name we pray. Amen.